Glad you're all here this morning. I'd like to especially welcome those of you that are new or visiting or this is a first or second or third time. I wanted to say specifically to those who are visiting or checking out the church, today we have a newcomer's lunch that starts after church. We meet at about 12 o'clock or a little earlier right in the back outside, and we'd love to take you to lunch and tell you more about the church and let you ask some questions about us. So we'd love to do that. So I want you to know you're welcome to that. I'm really excited about the series that we're starting today. We're starting a new series for the next 6 weeks that culminates in Easter. And it's my hope that this will be a really significant time for us as a church and for us to give ourselves to something that we will do as individuals, but that we will do together. I'm going to flesh that out this morning, and I hope that maybe on your way in you got one of these. It's called the Leap of Faith. And is anyone not get one of these? Because I'm not expecting you to read this now. The font is too small and the lights are too dark. But we will talk about it later, and I wanted to make sure everyone had one. But it is my hope, and I want to pray this morning before we begin, that these next weeks would be really pivotal time, a pivotal time in our lives, maybe in our year, for experiencing the goodness and the faithfulness and the love of God. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I ask you to come this morning to fill this room with your presence, that you would be speaking to us wherever we are on our spiritual journeys, wherever we are in our life of faith. In all the different stages and experiences, we know and we come this morning because we want to receive more from you. We want to know what it means to have faith and to live and have joy and purpose in this world. So come and lead us and show us this. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I was introduced to this idea of a leap of faith in the summer of 2011. I was able to take a trip with another member of this church, Rajesh Philippos, and we went back to Boston to visit a vineyard that's in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And at this conference, they talked about many things, but one thing that particularly struck me was this idea of a leap of faith. And what a leap of faith was it was a time during which they had a 40-day stretch that sort of covered the period of Lent. And they, as a church, were asking something specific from God, asking God to do something specific for them, for a handful of their friends, and for the church. I had an immediate affinity to this idea. I loved this idea. I felt like, and I think particularly it appealed to me as an individual, as someone who finds and can imagine, I was thinking about as I was driving here this morning, that sometimes when I see things and I imagine God doing something, I can feel challenged. Like, I don't know if God could do something there. I can imagine God doing something here, but I don't know about here. And I realize that the world constantly gives us impressions and fills our own hearts and minds with ideas of what is possible and impossible. What would it be like to give ourselves to a period of time where we let God shape that for us? We let God speak into that. We actually open ourselves to that, to growing in faith and to asking God for some specific things and see what he would do. I think what's cool about this idea, too, is that it struck me that it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a Christian to do it. It didn't even matter if, I mean, you could come and be exploring and be looking into Jesus because everybody wants to have joy. Everyone wants to have hope. Everyone wants to have meaning and purpose. People want to receive. Everyone has a faith. It struck me, you know, people don't say, and there's a new trend and all sorts of things are happening where people are moving away from religion. But yet, I think everyone has a faith because everyone has some conviction that something will bring them happiness. People are working towards something or trying to gather or gain or put themselves in the place of something that will give them hope, that will give them meaning, that will give them purpose, whether it's a relationship or a thing or an experience. And what a leap of faith is saying is, come and ask me. God is saying, come and ask me. Put your desires in front of me and see what I will do. So a leap of faith is a time for those of us who are following Jesus or checking him out to grow and experience in confidence of God's love for us and his goodness and purpose in the world. Now, we're going to talk more specifically about this in a minute, but I wanted to talk about why. I wanted to even explain or maybe get in a little bit more. Why are we doing this now at this point in our time in our church? Well, during the next 6 Sundays, we're going to be looking at the topic of faith through a specific book in the Bible. The book is one in the New Testament, which is the New Testament or all the parts of the Bible that are written when Jesus was alive on earth and after. And this book is called the Book of Hebrews. It's written by someone, the author is often contested, some people don't know who, but it's written to the general church who's trying to follow Jesus, and it raises a number of questions about who Jesus is and his role in our life. And in a particular chapter, in chapter 11, there's this whole chapter about these heroes of faith, these people who, in the nation of Israel, the nation that God wanted to demonstrate who he was through in the Old Testament, these people had faith in God, and chapter 11 in Hebrews honors them. It talks about what faith looks like through these individuals. And over these next 6 weeks on Sunday morning, we're going to look at different instances in the lives of these individuals to get a glimpse and a picture even of what it looks like to have faith for us now. But I want to start with the beginning of chapter 11. The passage is in your program, but it's also on the screen behind me. Let me read it for us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that which is seen was made from things that were not visible. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By definition, faith is the assurance or the confidence and trust, a synonym for assurance, that what is hoped for will come to pass. It's the conviction that things that are not seen are real. The author goes on to say that it was the kind of faith that these ancestors had that caused their lives to be approved of by God. That this is the kind of faith that they had. This assurance of things that had not yet happened and a confidence that reality was more than just what they could see. The author says it's the kind of faith that understands that the worlds were prepared before everything, and they were prepared by the word of God. We weren't there. We did not see it with our own eyes, but we believe it because of the testimony, or because we trust in God. Not only that, but he throws in this little zinger at the end that what is visible, the world, was made from things that are not visible, God's words. So this faith that's being discussed is critical to having a good relationship with God. Whatever faith is and what it looks like in our lives, it's critical to God approving or sort of saying, this is what it looks like to be in relationship with me. And that first central thing we learn about that faith is that this assurance of something happening out ahead of us, that it hasn't already occurred. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a challenging concept. Faith and hope and trust in something that has not happened. If you think about something in your life that already maybe has come to pass and what it was like for you before it did, and you really wanted it to happen, maybe a relationship, a job, an experience, and you realize, what did you feel before it happened? What was your level of confidence that it was going to come to pass? It's very unsteady. It feels, how is this possible? I think the conundrum starts to settle for us. What does it look like to have faith and assurance that something is going to happen that hasn't happened yet? How do we have that? Well, two observations about this. The first thing I want to note here is that faith in this context is dynamic. The faith in it is an assurance of things hoped for. We're always hoping for something. My experience in having followed Jesus for a long time is I have not stopped hoping. I didn't become a follower of Jesus and all hope left. I just became completely satiated and satisfied. We continue to hope. And the irony is, God may do something. We may experience some goodness from God. And yet, there's more to hope for. There's more that is out there, that is undone, that is, and yet, what does it look like to have faith for that? And the really perplexing thing that anybody who follows Jesus and who's honest will tell you is that you can have experienced an incredible goodness of God. You can have experienced a great gift from God and then go into a completely different situation and be challenged to know whether it's going to happen or whether God is out for your good and going to provide in some way and have total doubt about it. You know, you can have seen it one place and you can go, well, that was yesterday. This is a whole new thing. How do I know God will do that now? And similarly, we've had the experience where we have trusted God for things. We've asked God for things. We've asked for gifts, and it hasn't happened. And what do you do then? We're faced with this challenge that to have faith in something, it's dynamic. There are things out ahead of us that will we get a job when we graduate from college, right? Will we find someone to be in relationship with? Will I be able to have children? Will they be healthy? It goes on and on and on. What will we hope in? Because we're constantly struggling with the issue of how we will have hope. And to be honest, what most of us and a lot of us do is sometimes when it gets hard, and even for those of us who follow Jesus, isn't it true that you hope and you have faith for something and maybe it doesn't happen, and then what do? You stop hoping. Because it's better not to hope and risk in the first place than to hope and be disappointed at the end. And yet, God calls us to have this kind of faith. And that's why the second thing I want to observe is that it involves risk. The risk to open yourself to actually believe or hope for something and leave open the possibility of being disappointed even if it doesn't happen. To actually hope and believe that more is possible. And I think most of us, at some level, we've had glimpses of that. We experience something, and most of the time, some a miracle, if you've experienced some kind of thing that you can't explain, maybe some incredible gift from God, whether it's like money that arrives randomly or somebody does something for you at just the right time or whatever, and it happens and you have no explanation for it, but so quickly it becomes something that cannot possibly ever be duplicated. God could never do that again. You know, that was a unique moment in time. And I believe that what God is calling us to do during this 40 days of faith is to open our hearts and to come and to actually dare to open ourselves to ask God for more. This is one of the great paradoxes of Christianity. That, you know, it's funny when these things that don't happen, it seems to automatically throw a monkey wrench in the idea of assurance, right? Assurance means, doesn't it, like, this will happen, right? Like, I have total assurance that if I take this step, my foot will hit the ground. Whether I should or not, the physics people can, you know, debate around the room. But the idea is, I have assurance of that happening. And yet, for the deepest things in life, it's where the assurance is the most difficult. Yet Jesus himself advocates for this kind of posture in life when he tells the story or the parable of a man coming to his brother for some bread. Let me read this for us. At the end of this story, which probably many of you are familiar with, this guy gets out of bed and he says he has unexpected guests, and he goes, oh, I have nothing to give them because they just arrived, so I'm going to go bug my neighbor. And this is the way Jesus sums up that story. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, will give them a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? One of the key ways that your faith, my faith, and especially our faith in God, is that Jesus wants to convince us that he is good, that he is generous, and that he wants to keep giving to us and pouring into us all the days of our life. We have, or we hope to, most of us have experienced something of this. For sure, those of us who are following Jesus have experienced, maybe there's images going through your mind right now of where you know tangibly you have received from God. Those are incredible gifts. And yet, we have other times, as I mentioned before, where we've asked and maybe it hasn't happened. And we struggle to continue to ask. And that is what, but that is what Jesus is asking us to do here. To have faith that is assured that God is good and that he wants to give good gifts to his followers. So Jesus wants us to continue to ask for good gifts. And yet, the challenge appears to continue to do that on a daily basis in our lives. So that is why we are setting aside these 6 weeks. These 6 weeks to focus on and to give ourselves to the process of growing and enlarging and deepening our confidence in God and that he is good. And to do it in some very specific ways. So that's why we're calling it a leap of faith. It will be a leap of faith for all of us. This is not like just a leap of faith for those who don't necessarily follow or believe God. This is a leap of faith to follow God. It would certainly be a leap of faith for them to engage in this, or for you if you're visiting this morning. But it's also a leap of faith for any of us who follow Jesus. Because no matter where we are, Jesus is calling us to trust him at deeper and deeper levels. And no matter who we are, we all have our own unique struggles with that. I want to talk more about the specifics in a minute, but before I do, I want to invite Matt Stringer up. Matt, who many of you know, he and his wife Heather have been a part of the church for over 15 years, and they now have three lovely children. And I've invited Matt to share his experience of having participated in the Leap of Faith, because he's had a chance to do that before. And I want that to encourage us as we begin and embark on this together.
Thanks, Alex. Is this going? Okay, great. So at first glance, my story, my leap of faith story, may not seem like that big of a miracle, at least as I was reflecting on it. I think, well, it's about buying a house, you know, and that's a pretty common experience, you know, even in the Silicon Valley. A lot of people have done it. But as I was thinking about it, I think that's part of what a leap of faith is about, is inviting God into the ordinary sometimes and watching him transform it and turn it into a faith journey. And I hope you'll see as I share that that's what happened for us. So the story started pretty typically in that we had just welcomed our third child into the world. And we'd also done our second move in order to move around to various rental houses based on schools, and we got kicked out of our previous house. And so we were beginning to have a desire to get settled somewhere more permanently, particularly around a good school district and a place where our kids could call home as they would grow up. The problem we faced was the Silicon Valley and the housing prices here. We hadn't really been able to build up a big amount of savings. We'd paid off some student debt and things of that nature. So we were really kind of just getting by as far as the finances go. And the initial down payment for a house in our neighborhood we were living in at that time would be way, way beyond what we could possibly afford. However, we had been following some sermons from the Cambridge Vineyard and been exposed to this idea of the leap of faith. They used to call it 40 days of faith back in that time. And so I decided to make a faith goal, you know, that we could find a house to buy that we could afford. And I put some specific language in there about that we would love living there, that it would have good schools, and that it would have something to do with the kingdom. So it wouldn't just be about us and our family, but about a place to serve the community and maybe serve the church as well. So shortly after that time, through a coworker, I got connected with a real estate professional who specializes in this thing called an equity share. It's a way to buy a house where they pair up an investor owner and basically an occupant owner, and they provide the down payment, and in return, 7 years later, you basically refinance, cash them out, pay them half of the equity that's accumulated in the house. So that's where they're getting their investment. It didn't necessarily sound like the greatest idea, just kind of being in this contract, but we didn't know how else we could solve this down payment problem, so we went ahead. So we started a house search, which was a roller coaster all its own. We had questions like, how close can we be to church? What about my job? Do we have to live in Fremont? You know, those were the issues. And it became really frustrating, honestly. We got to a point where we felt like, I don't know if we can afford to live in the Bay Area. Maybe we'll just have to keep renting. And I guess we could be okay with that. And at one point, we actually did just give up the search. But about an hour into that decision, we both, Heather and I, just felt terrible about sticking with that. And as we checked in, I think we realized that God did not want us to quit the house search. So I think that dynamic really surprised both of us, the fact that he was invested in this, not just us, and that maybe he would have a plan for it. So we continued the search, and very quickly we actually identified a neighborhood that looked very promising. It was a little more affordable. The schools were good. It was a nice area in West San Jose. And we actually found some properties there that were available. We made an offer on one and were rejected, unfortunately. It was a big disappointment. We'd gone through the whole thing of, you know, sizing up the rooms and this furniture will go there and all that, and then our offer wasn't accepted. And another difficulty was coming into play here. We were under a deadline. Because of the way the equity share was structured, we pretty much had 3 days to get into contract under another house, or those funds would go away and the whole deal would be off and we might have to delay however long until they could find another investor to partner with us. So we thought, forget it. We're never going to get into contract on a house in 3 days. Well, we actually did. It was a complete whirlwind. We put an offer in on a place, and there were multiple offers. Ours was actually the weakest of all of them, but this is where we felt like the leap of faith started to kick in, because there were a number of interesting connections that we could see. For example, the two real estate agents involved had done several deals together before and had some familiarity. Our loan officer was actually the loan officer for the sellers, so there was a lot of familiarity there. So they picked us for getting accepted on the offer. This came about right after 2008, October. So this was about March 2009. And if any of you remember what the sort of financial markets and the housing markets were like, credit was frozen currently when we were trying to fund this loan. So, we got accepted for an offer, but will we actually get the money to buy this house? We weren't sure. Well, as it turned out, we actually got two offers for a loan. One that was the equity share, which we were expecting, but then somehow, in some way, and we still have never figured out why, we got an offer for a loan that was without the equity share and that had a down payment contribution low enough that we could actually afford. And we were kind of scratching our head. We went to the real estate guy and he said, I don't know. I've never seen this kind of terms on a loan before, and to get it now in the middle of frozen credit, you guys are lucky or something. And I said, well, what do you think we should do? He said, oh, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you got to go with this. And it turns out the investor owners had another place to park their money, so they were fine too, and we were able to close on the house. Alex mentioned earlier about money magically showing up, or not magically, but unexpectedly showing up. So I had an unexpected check show up in the mail for $5,000 during, like, the week that we closed on the house, which also helped to get to the down payment. I think my previous record for unexpected checks in the mail was about $172, so this was not a usual occurrence for us. But as I've thought about what that meant, we've been in the house for 4 years now, and we do love living there. We love our neighborhood. We've really connected deeply with the next-door neighbors immediately. They're a grandmother-age woman and her adult daughter who's disabled, and they love our children. They have them over all the time. We actually have had them stay with them for the weekend while we've gone out of town. The disabled daughter really is ministered to by having the kids around, so that's been a really unexpected, cool thing that we've seen. We've gotten really connected through soccer and school in the community as well. And one of the things that always brings it back to me, the journey we went on, is we live down near the mountains. Like, you can walk out in our front yard and look up and see the Santa Cruz Mountains, and it's really beautiful. And often when I do, I just remember this story. Like, gosh, we really shouldn't be in this house. You know, we really couldn't be here if it wasn't for God. And I think about how much I love living there, and it always fills me with gratitude to think about how God planned for that. And as we face challenges and struggles, sometimes I'll be reminded then too, like, hey, God, you got us into this house. You put us here. You maybe have a plan for it. So maybe you're going to take care of this situation or this stress that we're dealing with right now. So I hope that that's what, if you decide to take the leap with us and the church, that you experience that process of God kind of turning the ordinary into something extraordinary that becomes a milepost, because that's certainly happened for us. Thanks for letting me share.
So the obvious application of that story is that everyone will get a house at the end of the 40 days of faith, right? I don't know, right? I can't say no. As Matt was sharing, I was thinking of those commercials, you know, where people give the testimonials and they're really amazing. And then there's that little line at the bottom and they go, actual results may vary. You know, that's, I love that, right? Because everyone interprets that as this will never happen to me. The difference here is that in most of those situations, they're asking you to do something where you have to gut it out for yourself, right? You have to eat the right portions of food, or you have to do the ab workout for 40 minutes a day, or you've got to do X, Y. We're talking about putting ourselves in a place to experience God doing something for us. We're talking about being honest and acknowledging that we have desires. And, you know, we're pretty honest. I think usually most of the time, sometimes we realize our desires are not always the best things, you know, but there are desires and we sift through those. But we have a lot of desires that are pretty good. You know, I think Matt thinking about a place to live with his family, and that's okay. And God wants to hear these things. And I think God wants to increase our ability to share our desires with him and open our hearts to him and ask for these things. And so I think that's what we want to embark on during this leap of faith. I would love it if each of us would take the leap of faith so that we would have the encouragement of doing it together, that we would have 100 stories like Matt's at the end of these 40 days. Different stories, stories of different things that God is doing, of ways that he's speaking to us and engaging us, ways that bring unintended consequences like the blessing that they are to their neighborhood and the family that's a blessing to them next door. Well, what does it look to participate in this? And let's talk about that for a minute. If you want to pull out your leap of faith introduction, I'd like to just point out a couple things this morning. I'm not expecting you again to read it, but I wanted to highlight a couple things. I want to highlight three pieces that I think are the core to this leap of faith. And Matt's testimony highlighted the first one. The first one is my life. And I think what you heard Matt share about was Matt expressing to God something that he wanted God to do for him and his family right then. It was a real need. It was a pressing thing. It was something on his heart. And you could ask yourself, and I posed this in the introduction, which I stole from Matt because it's such a great question. If there was one thing that you would really want God to do for you right now, what would it be? And to consider that. Now, maybe you know immediately and it pops into your head, or maybe you'll want to reflect on it. That's why we created this introduction, so that you can, over the next couple days, spend some time reading through it, going through the details, let God speak to you as you read it, and think about what he's saying to you. And there's a place in there to write down. And I would encourage you to write down as specifically as you can, because, right, those are the ones that really blow your mind. I mean, you can write down whatever you want. You could write down, you know, that I would have a happy day, you know, between now and Easter. And I hope that that comes true. But you could write some really specific things, and it could be a challenge, but to see what God does. I know I've been thinking about these myself and putting myself in that place. And, you know, not surprisingly, one of my very specific things is that this leap of faith is a really good thing for our church, right? And I think that's something we're going to find out. We're going to find out because of the experience we have as individuals doing it, but then doing it together and sharing with one another in the stories that happen. So we encourage you to make it specific, but I also want to say there's no right or wrong answer. This is not like, I don't know, and I think the beauty of this is you can engage God over what your desire is and talk to him about it. And my anticipation is that there'll be a give and take, and there'll be a process even as you pray about this thing, and that God will be dynamic. If you notice, Matt shared that story, but I think there was all sorts of steps along the way that were never envisioned when Matt wrote down his desire. But God had a journey and a path for him through that. The second area that is different that we're connecting to this is called My Six. And again, taken from the Cambridge Vineyard. This is, it's an arbitrary number, but it kind of captures a handful of people that are in your communities that you agree to pray for that God would do something wonderful in their lives. These are people that are already in your lives. Maybe we've been even talking about them. They come to mind from our previous series about loving the Silicon Valley. Who are people that you're in relationship with and you feel God has really given you the desire to pray for them, to pray that God would perform a miracle, would cause some kind of breakthrough, would help them experience Him. Now, these can be family, people who are following Jesus or not. I encourage you to make at least half of them people that you think or believe don't really have much relationship with God, so that it's a part of partnering with God and seeing His kingdom go forward. But I want you to put that in front of God and say, who would you have me pray for this? And the last thing is something that you would really like God to do for the church, for us, for our community. Maybe you already know, or you want to ask God to reveal it to you. This allows us to come together and to pray as individuals for our corporate body. So, for example, people have been talking, we've been talking as a church for years, right, about a new location. We're still trying to discern and follow God in that. You could pray for that, right? You can pray for whatever you're seeing and experiencing in church and you want to see God do for us or release in our midst, and to see what the next step is for us in that. These are at the heart of what we're asking you to give yourself to during this leap of faith. But there's one other major piece to this. And the major piece is that in doing the leap of faith, we would commit to do it every day. Now, this is not intended in order to make it more of an obligation, right? The point is to be in active relationship with God over these things, over these next 40 days. And to be bringing these. And I'm not, if you read the introduction, I don't prescribe how to do it. I don't prescribe when to do it. We are very different people. We operate. Some people will want to really get into the scripture and they'll want to study the Bible about this. So it's for those folks. On our website, under the resources, there's a daily Bible guide that has a cool sort of story that goes through that we're paralleling with the Greater Boston Vineyard this year, the Book of Acts, and allows you to be in that and asking some of these questions about the leap of faith. Others of us are just going to want to take walks and not be, you know, just be out in nature and taking a walk, praying and asking God about these things. Others of us may find that we just decide to turn the radio off in the car on the commute to work and pray during that time. Where does it work and where does it fit in your life? But the goal, the commitment is to find a place for that to happen. You know, and it doesn't even say how long. It's about finding a space that works in your life. Maybe sitting in your car after you drop the kids off at school. Whatever it is, a place that works for you to give yourself to praying for yourself, for your six, and for our church. Let me conclude with a summary of some of the next steps. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. This is the beginning of the first day of this 40 days, this leap of faith. I want to encourage you to read the introduction. Yeah, it's long. I mean, I took some time to really write it so that it would be informative, and hopefully it answers a lot of questions. If it doesn't, email me. This is a leap of faith for me and for us, and we're trying to figure out how to do this. Things that don't make sense, feel free to ask questions. But read through the book. Find a time, the introduction. Find a time today or tomorrow, and just give yourself to that. Second, ask Jesus for something specific that He would like to do for you during this leap of faith. Ask Him to confirm what you're already thinking about. Ask Jesus for the six people around you that you'd want to see God do something wonderful for. And ask Jesus for what powerful work He wants to do in our church. And then I encourage you to write it down somewhere. That's why we gave you that little bookmark. So you can put that in a journal or a Bible. I mean, hopefully, you know, it's the kind of thing where you're not going to need a super huge reminder, but it's great to have it. I love those things because it makes me go back to the language and to what I was thinking at that moment. And I keep thinking about it and coming back to it because I get distracted by whatever has been going on in that given day. And then the last thing I mentioned was pray every day. To ask God for that. One thing that we've found, I've heard, has been helpful and we're encouraging people to do is to find a faith buddy. And what I mean by that is, I write about this in the introduction, but really what we're talking about is someone with whom to share about what the journey is like. This is not like an accountability partner. I don't mean someone that you're going to share and do all the different facets of life. This is somebody, could be your spouse, could be a friend, could be somebody in your small group. Small groups could have times to talk about this. But someone when you could share, hey, this really cool thing happened. But also someone that you can share with what you're praying for. Now, I don't know about you, but the minute I take something I'm praying for and take it out of just my journal and share it with somebody else, it sort of changes. Because like it's public. You've crossed some line, right? You kind of said, and now people will ask you about it. Or people will wonder, or this person will. And I think that's part of the step and the leap of faith is to share about it and to have it be known, those three areas, and then to pray for one another. And then someone to share the both the good things that happen along the way, but also the struggles. Because hopefully, during this time, even with the six that you're praying for, my desire and my prayer is that God's going to open up some times for divine appointments where you'll get to interact with some of those six. And because you've been praying and thinking about them, God will cause something to happen and will be at work in that moment. And there will be something great happen for that person and for you. Lastly, I would love to be able to have people share testimonies and talk about what's happening as we do the leap of faith, put it on a website or whatever. You know, I mean, obviously we'll clear it with you, don't worry. So, but if you have any of these stories, to email LOF, which is our acronym for Leap of Faith, at VCFP with stories and testimonies. Well, I hope that this is something that you will choose to give yourself to. One of the things that we talk about as well is that we don't see this as in opposition to those of you who have already sort of circumscribed Lenten practices. We encourage you to do those. We believe that these prayers can be worked into whatever Lenten practice you already have. And to make that a part of it. And we have other resources for those of you that want to experience more from Lent on our website as well. So as I invite the worship team up, I want to encourage us and to take this time of worship to enter into receiving from God. As our mission says, why it is receive, respond, and risk is because the first and essential thing is that we receive and we know the love and the abundance of God. That we operate out of, we initiate out of, we even pray out of knowing and experiencing God's love for ourselves. And so I want to ask us, and maybe you want to use this time to ask God, what are you saying to me about this leap of faith? Or what is it that you're wanting to do for the church? Or who would you have me pray for? But I really hope that we can choose to take the leap together and begin today by opening ourselves to God and letting Him pour His Spirit into us. Would you stand? I'm going to pray. Can I pray? Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come now and that you would breathe life into this leap of faith. That we can have whatever program we want, we can do whatever this or that, but what we want and what we're hoping to experience is the dynamic and the live presence of your Spirit at work in our life and in the lives of those around us and in our church. So Jesus, come, breathe life into this journey for all of us. Just welcome you. Come, God.